We're holding on Ayanjimo Amud Bey's 10 lines from 12 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had said, Reb Shimon, so we learned in the Mishnah that basically we said every mincha where a kohen mitzvah is taken from it, then the shirayim are eaten by the kohen. However, we said in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Omer, minchas choyte shor kohen, and follow Reb Shimon had said that if a kohen brings a minchas choyte, if he brings a mincha for one of the things for which a person brings a korban or the yored, and he's the poorest to the poor, and he brings a mincha, then Reb Shimon had said that the koimetz is taken from it, but the shirayim are not eaten. Rather, the koimetz and the shirayim are burnt separately from one another. So the Gemara says, Minahani, really, where do we know this from? That the Tanakama, where does the Tanakama get that the whole thing is burnt together and no koimetz is taken? And where does Reb Shimon get that you do take a koimetz from it, however, none of it is eaten? So the Gemara says, Tamin Rabbanan. Now, when the pasuk describes this minchas choyte in Parshas Vayikra, it finishes off after it describes the procedures of it. It says it shall be for the kohen like a mincha. So what does that mean? First of all, that means shetei avodosek sheir avoy. That means that the avoda of that mincha is kosher to be done by the kohen himself. Namely, in other words, we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, you have a general rule that whenever a kohen has his own korban to bring, he's allowed to come and bring it anytime he wants. Even though we know the kohenim were divided into mishmaros, and each mishmar would serve a different week in the Beis Mikdash, but if a kohen from a different mishmar has his own korban to bring, then he can come anytime and offer it, and the other members of the mishmar, and he himself is entitled to eat it even, and the other kohenim of the other mishmar can't prevent it. So first of all, we learn from the word that it means it's to him in the sense that he can actually do the avodah of that korban. So in other words, we teach it, it shall be for the koyin, the avodah of it, it'll be to the koyin just like other menachos that he can bring. Now, after maybe not, maybe it teaches us that the koyin eats the kohenim eat the remainder of that mincha just like they would if it was a mincha schoita of Israel. So what do I do with the pasuk in Parashat Tzav that says that any mincha of a kohen should be completely burnt and not eaten? You would say mincha nidvasa. That would apply to a voluntary mincha that a kohen brings. But how do we know? Maybe an obligatory mincha that a kohen brings would still be eaten. So how do you know that's not what the pasuk means? Therefore, the pasuk says, so the pasuk says it shall be for the kohen like the mincha, meaning like his own mincha. So in other words, since it compares it to a mincha, and a mincha of a kohen is burnt, so the same way a mincha schoita of a kohen is also burnt and not eaten. And makish choyver l'nidvasa l'nidvasa, and by saying it like that, means the Torah is making a hekesh between an obligatory korban of a kohen and a voluntary korban manidvasa in an echelus. It's like a voluntary korban of a kohen is not eaten, and no kmitza is taken from it either, because the whole thing is just brought together on the mizbeach. So the same way an obligatory korban that's brought by a kohen is also not eaten and no koimetz is taken from it. Now the Shittim Kubetzis points out on the face of it, then the Gemara is learning two drachas from it. Number one, that he can do the avoda of it, and also that it's not eaten. But what it means is, in other words, we're comparing it across the board the same way as his own regular mincha, voluntary mincha he could bring, and is not eaten. We're saying the same rules apply to his mincha, which is required to bring, namely a mincha schoyte. So that's where the Tanakhama gets from, that if there's no kohen that's taken and the whole thing, nothing of it is eaten, the whole thing of it is burnt, it's treated exactly like a voluntary mincha that kohen would bring. However, Amar Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon in the Braisa says, again, he had said in the Mishnah that when it comes to a mincha schoita of a kohen, that the kohenetz is taken, but the kohenetz and the shirayim are burnt separately. Reb Shimon points out, does it say in the pasuk that they'll say in the pasuk that it shall be to the Kohen like his mincha, and in that case it would mean what you're saying, Tanakama, that it means that it's treated exactly like his voluntary mincha. It only says it should be like a mincha, so it doesn't necessarily mean like another mincha of a Kohen. Maybe it has a different meaning.
Sure.
Rather, says Reb Shimon, the pasuk is coming to tell you a hekesh not between a Kohen's mincha schoite and a Kohen's other type of mincha, but rather between a mincha schoite of a Kohen and a mincha schoite of Yisrael. Ma mincha schoite shal Yisrael mikmetzes. So just like a mincha schoite of Yisrael has a knitza taken from it, af mincha schoite shal Kohenim mikmetzes, the same thing is done with the mincha schoite of the Kohen. Well, then if you're going to make that comparison, then maybe just like with the Yisrael's korban, not only is a kohen taken and offered, but the shirayim are written. Maybe it would be the same thing with the mincha of a kohen, with the mincha schoita of a kohen. No, tam avloima, la kohen kam mincha. Therefore, the pasuk says, therefore the kohen says, to the kohen, like a mincha. Now, granted, he's not looming like the Tanakhama, that means let's compare it with a different mincha of the Kohen, but nevertheless, that means, la Kohen ka mincha, just means, la Kohen ka mincha, means only as far as the fact that the Kohen does the avoda is it compared to a mincha. So that means, in other words, the fact that the Kohen himself can do the avoda, and the fact that the Kohen is taken from it, which is also one of the avodas. But the implication of that is that it's not the rule about what's put on the fire is not like a mincha in that regard. Okay, so what does it mean? Kohimitz, kot of ba'atzma, the shirayim created in ba'atzma. So the kohimitz is offered separately and the shirayim are offered separately. Because otherwise, if it said, v'hoisa la'ishin kamincha, if it just said v'hoisa kamincha, then it would mean that it's across the board, the same as a regular mincha. It is even eaten, but no, by saying la kohen kamincha, it means whatever depends on the kohen. Whatever depends on the kohen, the actual avoda of it, the eating of it is not an avoda. It's like a semi avoda in the sense, as we've learned before, kohenim otlum bailam eskaprim. The kohen eats the korban, and the owner gets the full kapara. But in terms of the actual technical avodas of the korban, you have the kmitza and the things after that until the kohenitz is burnt, and then that's that. Then the actual avodas per se of the mincha are done. So then, Reb Shimon says, that's what we learned from the pasuk, that only the avoidus is it the same as a mincha schoita of Yisrael, namely that the Kohen does the avoida, and he does, and specifically he does the knitza, and the rest of the thing is following that, but not as far as eating the shirayim. So that's where the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon get their respective opinions. So now the Gemara asks, now let's go back. The Braisa had said that we learned from this pasuk for Hoysa LaKoyin, that it means the Koyin can do the avoda of his own minchas choyte, even again if it's not his mishmar's turn in the Bis Mikdash. The question is, are we actually learning it from here? Mehosam Nafka, we learn it from a whole different pasuk. Namely, a Braisa says, Minayin LaKoyin Shabo Makav Korbanosav Mechol Esav Mechol Shafi Yirza. How do we know that a Koyin can come and offer his Korbanos anytime and any time that he wants? And shah are both words that mean any time, like in benching, or the whole ace of the whole shah. The pashtus, the whole ace would mean any day, the whole shah would mean even within the day itself, like the other kohenim can't tell him, well, it's our turn today, so we're going to first do all the other korbanos that other people have brought, and then you can do yours at the end of the day. In any case, the point is, how do we know that he can do that? Talmud Lomar, therefore you have a pasuk in Parshas Shoftim. Now before, the pasuk for hoysa l'kohen kamincha is in Parshas Tzav, in this week's parasha. But here now, the source that a Kohen can do is avoda of his korban anytime he wants is from a pasuk in Shoftim, Talmud Lomar. Uvol v'chol avas nafshoi v'sheiris. The pasuk says that a Kohen can come from, the actual pasuk mentions a Levi, but it means the Kohenim who are descended from Shevet Levi, can come anytime he wants, v'chol avas nafshoi, whenever his soul desires, at the base of Mekdash v'sheiris, and he can serve. So we learn from that a Kohen can do the avoda of his korban whenever he wants. So where we need the pasuk in Parshas Tzav for? The answer is Imei Hosam. But if we only had the limerick from Parshas Shoftim, Havamina Dovashain Ba'acheh, you would think maybe that applies only to an Avera, that only to a korban that's not being brought for an Avera of his. So he wants to bring a voluntary Ola, a Shlomim, or Mincha, or what have you, then fine. Okay, so technically sometimes those are brought for some kind of Chet, but for example, we learned in Zvachim that an old person might bring an Ola for thoughts of Avera, for a Lava, or for an Esther, or Lava Nikikla Esther, or whatever. Fine, but there's no technical thing that he has to bring a korban for that. So he would say, when he's bringing a korban, which is basically voluntary, then he has the right to bring them. But Abel Davar Shabachet, but here we're talking about the Minchas Choyte, which comes for an Aveira. Eimelo, you would think maybe that not. Maybe the fact that he, maybe the fact that he did an Aveira knocks him out from bringing the Korban for it. So therefore we need the pasuk v'hoisal akoyin kamincha to tell us that by minchas choyta also the koyin himself can bring it. Okay, the Gemara asks still v'hom nami mehocha nafka, even that detail that the koyin can bring his own turban even when he himself did the avera, is that where we learn it from? Mehosam nafka, we learn it from a different pasuk. The pasuk says about a case where a person did an avera that makes him chayav achatas, v'chiter akoyin, the koyin should bring a kapara ala nefesh hashegegas for the soul that sinned inadvertently, v'cheta by sinning v'cheta b'shvaga by doing the avera by mistake. Now, if it says ala nefesh hashegegas, why does it also say b'cheta b'shvaga? Why the double expression? So it means melamed shakoyin miskafer ideasma. We learn from that the koyin can bring his own kapara. Meaning, in other words, we douse in the pasuk as follows: v'chiper akoyin, the koyin shall make atonement ala nefesh hashegegas for the soul that did the thing inadvertently. And then, even if v'cheta b'shvaga, even if he himself did the aveda b'shvaga, then he can do v'chiper akoyin. So we see that even when the Kohen did an Aveda, then he can bring his own carbon. So what do we need the Pasuk in Parshas Tzav for that? So the answer is, Ime'ahu. Yes, but if we only had that Pasuk in Parshas Shlach, we would say, Hava Amina. You would say, Hanamila B'shoigim. Sure, that's when he did the Aveda B'shoigim. Then he would say that. Then we would say that he could bring his own carbon, because after all, it was B'shoigim. It's not so bad. Album amazed loy, but maybe not the amazed for mashmal, and therefore we need to be told by the korban ode of yored. Now the korban ode of yored is brought for three distinct avedas, and two of them a person brings even if the aveda was the amazed. Unlike in usually a person brings a korban only for something b'shoyged, but when it comes to the three things for which a person brings a korban ode v'yored are tumas mikdash v'kodshav, where he mistakenly went into this mikdash or ate korbanos when he was tamei. We learned all about it in Masechta Shavuos. There it has to be b'shoyged. You did it b'mezid. Then instead it's chayav kares. But then you have two others, Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Bitui. Shavuos Eidus, where someone else, where he knows Eidus for somebody else, and that person swore him to testify in Beis Din, and he claimed he doesn't know it, and then swore falsely or accepted the Shavuos falsely. But he doesn't, then he's going to bring the korban later on, and that's going to be even if he was mazed on that. And the other one is Shavuos Bitui, where a person made a Shavua, and then a person made a false Shavua, or made a Shavua and then violated it. So then also, when the Korban Ode V'Yored, those are brought even if it's B'mezid. So you wouldn't know, maybe you would think, once he did an Aveda B'mezid, then his Korban, he himself is bringing a Korban and ought to be rejected. At least he himself shouldn't be doing the Avoda. So therefore we need the pasuk in Parshas Tzav as well. Therefore, we need the pasuk in Parshas Tzav as well to tell us that it's not in Parshas Vayikra rather, V'hoisal HaKohen Kamincha, to tell us not only when he did inadvertently, as it says in Parshas Shlach, but even when he did it deliberately, as in Parshas Vayikra with Shavuos Eidus or Shavuos Victory. Nevertheless, he can still bring the korban himself. Okay. The Gemara says, "B'mezid heichem ashkachas." Well, what's the scenario where a person is bringing a korban for a mezid? And the answer is exactly that. We just said the zodin shavua when he was b'mezid on the shavua's victory or on the shavua's edus, where then he brings the korban regardless whether it was shoyig or mezid. So then we need a special pasuk to tell us that even though it was b'mezid, nevertheless he can still bring his own korban. The Sfasemis points out that in the discussion before, we didn't have Reb Shimon learning it that way. It was the Tanakhama learned that way, that we learned from that the Koyan can do the Avodah himself. Reb Shimon maybe doesn't agree with that. Maybe Reb Shimon indeed would say that at least when he did it for Mazid, then maybe indeed he can't bring the Korban. Or maybe vice versa. Maybe Reb Shimon says there's no logical reason anyway. We would just say it's not so necessarily such a reason to distinguish between Shreyan and Mazid, and therefore once he can bring the Korban by one, then he can bring it by the other. Okay. In any case, so we do need all those. And again, that also explains why the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon respectively hold their opinions, the Tanakhama that no kmitza is done at all, of the minchas choyta of the koyin, and Reb Shimon who says that it is done, but then the koyimits and the shirayim are burnt seconds. Okay, now the Gemara says here's another b'raisa that has another opinion on the subject. Tanya Idach, we learn in another b'raisa, Reb Shimon Omer, Minchas Chodesh or Koyinim Nekmetzes, a Minchas Chodesh or Koyinim, a Kmitza is taken, that Koymetz Kodesh B'Fnatzman, that Shiraim Kodesh B'Fnatzman, and the Koymetz and the Shiraim are offered separately, like he said in the Mishnah. So according to him, both of them are offered, but according to him, both of them are offered separately. But then we have another opinion in the Braisa, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon Omer, HaKoymetz Kodesh B'Asmai, that Shiraim Espazion on Beis Adeshin. Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon's son says that the koimetz is offered on its own, but then the shirayim are scattered on the Beis Hadeshin. Which Beis Hadeshin do we mean? Omer Rabbi Baba, Tavi Bar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was analyzing this braisa and asking Beis Hadeshin Dehecha. Which Beis Hadeshin do we mean? Idil Maila. Do we mean the one on top of the Mizbeach? Namely, in other words, you had a few different, Geshen means ashes. Specifically, it means fatty ashes, because of course, you bring korbanos that have fat in them, then inevitably you're going to have, the ashes are going to have a lot of fat impregnated in them, so such ash is called Geshen. So we know every day there was Trumas of Geshen, and then the rest of the ashes on the Mizbeach every morning would be waked up into a big pile in the middle of the Mizbeach called the Tapuach. Tapuach literally means an apple, because it was a big round pile like the shape of an apple or a half an apple. And every so often, when it got big enough, then the Kohenim would take it outside Yerushalayim and deposit it over there.
So what's the general meaning of the word deshen?
So the shortest of the word deshen, the word doshen means fatty. Means fatty and oily. Like you have dishanta vashem and roshi, for example. David says in Tehillim, you've made my head moistened and impregnated with oil. So the word deshen comes from a word meaning fatty and absorbed a lot of fat or oil into it. So therefore, the word deshen comes to mean also the ashes that are left over from burning fatty substances, which is the korban.
And what does it mean, the shenim verananim?
Same thing, the shenim verananim. They'll be fresh and full of fat. Same idea.
People don't get
up. In other words, you think of dry ashes. You burn a piece of wood, for example. What you have left at the end of it is dry ashes. But you burn a korban, for example. You burn meat and fat. Then at the end of it, you have fatty ashes. That's deshen.
Anyway, fatty ashes.
Fatty ashes, meaning ashes that have a lot of fat. Absorbed into them. Yes. Back in the late 1800s, when they were starting to expand the city of Yerushalayim, they came across an area where the soil was very unusual, where it was a bit unusual for that part of the world. They did chemical tests on it. It was like in the 1880s, 1890s or whatever, and they found it seems to be consistent with fatty ashes that had been deposited there long ago and have since chemically gotten altered by wind and rain and whatever, and they figured out that was the Beis Hadeshin, that must have been the place where they deposited the ashes from the korbanos. So getting back to the Gemara, so Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon is saying that the Shiraim are scattered on the Beis Hadeshin. So Rav Yechon is wondering which Beis Hadeshin. Idil Maila, do we mean the one above, namely the pile of ashes on the Tapuach in the middle of the Mizbeach? That's how Shikim Kubetzes understands it. On the other hand, the regular Rashi over here, not Rashi Ksaviyah, but regular Rashi over here has ala tapuach, but then in parenthesis hadeshen. So in fact, the Yosheva Torah explains that this version of Rashi would say that it means actually on the wood pile itself, on the Mizbeach. On the pyre of the Mizbeach will be called the Beis Hadeshin, because eventually it's going to go to the Beis Hadeshin over there. But according to him, it would actually be burnt. So that's the question. If it means that one, if it means the one on top of the Mizbeach, well, then Rav Elazar of Shimon is saying exactly the same thing as his father. And the point of this Braisa seems to be to point out a machlokas between them. E de la mata, do we mean the one below? Which we'll explain in a second what we mean by below. Then the question is, yes, if I'll is a part of the Mata, when do we ever find anything that is offered on bottom, that's not offered on the Mizbeach proper? Now, what do we mean by the one on the bottom? So Rashi and Rashi Ksavyad both explain. So regular Rashi it's printed on the top of the Amud, explains that Beis HaDeshen de Lamata would be the place where the Deshen is put after Trumas HaDeshen every morning on the floor near the Kedesh. You have in this week's parasha, the Samay Eitzel HaMizbeach, so he puts it a few amas away from the Mizbeach. So then that would be what the Gemara is asking. Does that mean the Beis HaDeshen de Lamata, that there you would scatter the Shirayim according to the laws of Reb Shimon? The question is, then in that case, if you put it over there, it's just you're not offering it on the Mizbeah, you're offering it on the floor. Rashi Ksavyad explains differently. De Lamata would mean that you take it al Shefa HaDeshen Rebachot, meaning that you would take it outside your Shalayim to the place where the ashes, where the ashes were deposited. Tosfos then has a problem with that. What do you mean? And it would become possible right away when you take it out of the Azara. So of course it can't mean that. Rather, Tosfos explains, I mean, in the Azara, in the place where, as we learned in Zvachim, you have a situation, the Purim and Yisrofim, or Seirim and Yisrofim, when everything goes according to plan, they're also taken out of your Shalayim and burnt in that same place, in the Beis HaGeshen. But if they become possible, then we learned in Zvachim, there's a place in the Azara where they're burnt, not on the Mizbeach. So then, according to that, then Rabbi Yochanan is saying, is that maybe the place that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon means? That Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that it does mean the place where they put the ashes next to the kevesh, which is like regular Rashi, not Rashi Ksavyad says. But then Tosfos questions that explanation. So there are several different possibilities what we mean over here by Beis HaDeshen de Lamata. A couple of Achronim talk about when Tosfos has a problem with Rashi, that if you take it out of your Shalayim, it would become possible. So Tzon Kodshim and Karen Oda answer that, look, if the Torah itself is telling you to take it outside there, then it wouldn't become possible. Anyway, so what is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon mean when he says that it's scattered on the Beis HaDeshen? Does he mean on top of the Mizbeach, or does he mean someplace off the Mizbeach? But the question is, if he means on top, then he's saying the same thing of his father. And if he's saying on bottom, then how do you have? How is something offered off the Mizbeach? To be sure, Tosfos points out, we did learn in Zvachin that Rabbi Yehuda holds the whole floor of the Azara has the Kedusha of the Mizbeach, but then that means it has the Kedusha of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is saying, Davka, you can't do it on the Mizbeach, but in that case, if you do it someplace that has the Kedusha of the Mizbeach, then he's saying the same thing as his father. And if it's on, if it's off, then where do you ever find something that's awkward off the Mizbeach? Omer Rav Abba, said Rav Abba answers, Jumal Ibud. Maybe Rav Elazar ben Shimon means it's not actually burnt. Maybe it means that it's placed over there in the Beis HaDeshen, just to leave it over there in order to rot away and then get lost over there. But the B'nai Yeshiva laughed at that and said, "Yesh l'chadav shakar of the ibud." The same question you could ask: is something ever brought as a korban where it's supposed to be deliberately destroyed? Tosfos points out, we did learn earlier in the Masechta, we talked about the case of the shtei lechem that I brought without the kvasim, where we said that then they're burnt. We talked about those zayrus that are banan, because then the next year they might have kvasim and not realize that they're essential. But the point is, mainly they're meant to be eaten, as opposed to over here, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say, because this is a minfas choyta, the poyim, it's never meant to be eaten. However, then to begin with, we're going to have it being scattered like that. We shouldn't be doing that. So now going back to Rabbi Abba's explanation. So now the other Chachamim laughed at Rabbi Abba's explanation and said it can't be that we're going to be just throwing it away. But no, in a matter of fact, there's a braisa that supports it. So Tony Avur did above, and the father of Oven taught a braisa when the pasuk says kol minchas koyin kol osiyah lo yisra achol, that every mincha of a koyin should be completely burnt and not eaten. That means la'achilei kashtia loylad veloylad davar acha. Means I'm only comparing it as far as eating it, but not as far as something else. So the Gemara will explain what that means in a second. But the point is, in other words, we see that the minchas koyin is compared right before that in the pasuk. It talks about the minchas chavitin that the Kohen Gadol brings every day. So the comparison is only as far as that they're both not equal. But as far as they're offering it, they are in fact different. The minchas chavitin will be offered on the Mizbeach, whereas the minchas choyte will, the shirayim will be spilled on the Beis HaDeshen. So even though the Chachmei Yeshiva laughed at Rabbi Abba for suggesting such a thing, in fact, this braisa backs it up and says that that's what it looks. That's one explanation in regular Rashi and in Rashi Ksabyan. Regular Rashi brings a different explanation. That it's not meant as a separate statement. Fine, the Gemara has left off this question of understanding Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and now the Gemara is mentioning a separate braisa that you should know that we have a limud that the minchas that minchas chota of a koyin is only like the minchas chavitin as far as not being eaten, but not necessarily as far as other things. So it's not necessarily backing up what we said before. It's just a separate statement according to one explanation in Rashi Sabiyah, and in regular Rashi. Okay. Anyway, when we're saying Machiri Kashtir below the Dava Achra, I made a hekesh only as far as eating, not anything else. My farmer. What does the pasuk mean? Kololtia means that you have to burn it. Amar Abaye Hachi Kamer. So Abaye explains what the braisa means. The drosha is as follows. Abaye is going to understand that the braisa is implying that the braisa is saying that the pasuk is implying two different kinds of menorahs. Kol minchas koyin lo ta'ochol. When it says any mincha of a koyin should not be eaten, that means chayvasa. That means any obligatory mincha that a koyin brings, namely his minchas chayta, then it can't be eaten. But when the pasuk says in between, it says kolol tia, it should be completely burned, that would mean nidvase, that would only be as voluntary korban. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, b'chol minchas koyin, any mincha of a koyin, so when it's a minchas nidava, kolol tia. When it's a when it's not, lo ta'afol, then just it's not eaten, but it's not necessarily offered. So therefore the braisa is saying that the pasuk is implying that in fact when it comes to a minchas chayta, it's not eaten and it's not even burnt. Instead, it can just be scattered on the base edition. But it comes out though that Abaye is actually luring the pasuk out of order. He's taking the words kol minchas koyin, then he's removing the words kol otia, and then going back to and then taking them out and then continuing with lo sa'achol. Why does he do that? Tosfos points out because that way he can say that v'chol minchas koyin is referring to all menachas. So in other words, lo sa'achol would in fact refer to all of them. No mincha of a koyin is eaten, but kol tia in between would refer only to nidvasa. But Rava says to Abaye, Sakina Harina Mafsaka Kuroi, are you taking a sharp knife and cutting apart the pasuk? The fact is it says kolotia in between. So how are you dowshing it? Ella Omar Rava, so rather Rava says no, dowshing it as follows. What the braisa means, kol minchas koyin, kolotia, when it says any mincha of koyin should be completely burnt, that means nidvasa, that means it's voluntary mincha. When the pasuk continues, it should not be eaten. Chayvase, then it means it's obligatory korban. So no, it's fine. I agree with your understanding, but just instead of having to reverse the pasuk and take out the word kolotia and understand it separately, we can actually understand it in order, and not have to cut apart the pasuk. Well, now the Gemara has a question. According to both of them, it comes out that the pasuk is telling us there's one kind of mincha of a koyin which is completely burnt, and then there's another kind of mincha which is not completely burnt, but rather it's shirayim are scattered. So the question is, maybe it should be the other way around. Maybe it should be that the minchas nedava of a koyin is the one the Torah is saying the rest of it is not offered, the whole thing, the koyimitz is offered, and the shirayim are scattered, and the minchas chayta would be the one that's completely eaten. So the answer is mistaber nidvase havalei l'rabuya. It's more logical that the pasuk is implying that the minchas nedava is the same as a regular koyin's mincha, and the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach because it's similar to the minchas chavitin in many ways. Shekein tedira, it's constant in the sense the minchas chavitin is brought every day, and a minchas nedava could be brought every day if a person wanted to. A person could bring a mincha anytime he wants. And there's no avera involved when the chavitin kohen gadol is not coming for a chet. Okay, we talked about when we learned about the chavitin previously in our masechta. We talked about a number of symbolisms in it that the Abaye Banel says, among others, is that other people can learn from it to not be embarrassed to bring korbanos for their averas, and that it's to a certain extent a kapara for all of the Jewish people, etc. But nevertheless, there's no specific chet that you can point to and say the kohen gadol did this wrong, therefore he's bringing the minchas chavitin. That's not why the korban is brought. Well, a minchas nedava is the same thing. So therefore, there's a similarity between them. And another difference, So you have, so she came to Gira, loy choti, there was no aveira involved, bosim reche, and it smells good. So what does that mean? In what way does it smell good, which a minchas choyte does not? So regular Rashi explains, first of all, a minchas tedava and a minchas chavitin are mixed with oil and topped with levoina, so therefore it has a fragrance, as opposed to a minchas choyte is just flour. Regular Rashi says is that only by the Minchas Nedava and by the Minchas Chavitin does it say Reach Nichoyach. Does the Pasuk describe it as a sweet odor for Hashem? Which okay, it doesn't mean that Hashem doesn't smell it, but in other words, it means Hashem has Nachas Ruach from bringing it, as opposed to by the Minchas Choyte, it doesn't say that. So that's one point. Rashi Ksavya just said the fact is that it has a fragrance and it has shemen and levoina as opposed to Rashi Ksavya brings both of these explanations as well. So Tosfos prefers the second explanation. Tosfos prefers the first explanation rather, that it has it's a poshet fragrance because it has oil and levoina as opposed to a minchas choyte does not. Anyway, so therefore, it's more logical to say that if the Torah is telling us something is going to be like completely burnt, like the Minchas Chavitin, more logical it's going to be the Minchas Nedava. But the Gemara asks, Adrav Chayvosa Havaleh Rabuyi. On the other hand, you could argue that maybe there's more reason to include the Minchas Choyva, the Mincha of the Choyte, and say that one should be completely burnt like the Minchas Chavitin. Shekein Isorin. Because both of them have this in common, they both have to be exactly an Isorin, as opposed to a Minchas Nedava, as we'll learn later in the Masechta, a person can bring a much larger Minchas Nedava, all the way up to 60 Isorinim. Choyva, both of them have this, and both of them have this in common, that they're both obligatory, as opposed to a Minchas Nedava, is just that, is Nedava. And the answer is fine, but Hanach Nefishin. Nevertheless, we have more commonalities between the Minchas Choyte, between the Minchas Nedava and the Minchas Chavitin, and therefore, if the Torah is going to imply to us, we know the Minchas Chavitin is completely burnt. The Torah says so. If now we're going to say that there's something else that is completely burnt, and the choice is between Minchas Nedava and Minchas Choyte, the fact that the Minchas Nedava has three things in common with the Minchas Chavitin, whereas the Minchas Nedava has only two, whereas the Minchas Choyte has only two, means that the Minchas Nedava, we can assume, is the one that is going to be, that is going to be completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Where's the Minchas Nedava? Where's the Minchas Choyte? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, parts of the Shiraim of it are not going to be burnt, but rather just scattered. So that's all an explanation. Regular Rashi brings a different explanation over here. That's another explanation for the flow of the Sugya. Rab Ovin's father had brought a statement that achilei kashir v'lo ledavar achar. It's only compared as far as eating, not something else. So it means the minchas choyte and the minchas nedava, the hekesh is between them. The regular explanation that we said according to Rashi and Rashi Ksavyad and Tosfos is the comparison is between one of those menachas and the minchas chavitin. But a different explanation that brought in regular Rashi is that the hekesh is between the two, is between the minchas choyte and the Minchas Nedava themselves, and then the Gemara had brought Abayas and Rava's respective explanations, how we know that the Pasuk is implying both things, and then the Gemara had asked why we should assume that it's saying that the Minchas Nedava is completely burnt, the Minchas Choyte and the Minchas Choyte is not. And again, the answer is similar to the Minchas Chavitin. So the only difference is that the regular explanation is that the father of Rabban, to begin with, is saying that the Torah is making a hekesh between some mincha and a Minchas Chavitin, whereas in this alternate explanation, Rabban's father's drasha is originally about why there's a similarity between Minchas Choyte and a Minchas Nedava, and in the end we're saying that there's a certain similarity between them, so namely that neither of them is eaten, but not as far as the offering, which one do we offer and which one not. For that we need another comparison with Minchas Chavitin. So now all of this is according to the laws of Rabban. Well, Rabbanan, what about according to the Rabbanan? and which means both the Rabbanan and Reb Shimon, really, both of them who hold that the Minchas Choyte of a Koyin is in fact completely altered. The only difference is that the Tanakama in On Mishnah had said that a Koyimitz is not even taken from it, the whole thing is burnt together, whereas Reb Shimon had said a Koyimitz is taken, but then the Koyimitz and the Shiraim are offered separately. So what do they do with this? Hi, Koman Haskoyin Polopia, Loisa Ochel Mai Abdulay. What are they doing with that Pasif? The answer is they use it to learn what it says in the following braises. Now you have the psukim are talking back to back over there about two different korbanos. First it talks about the mitzvah chavitim, which the kohen gadol brings every day, and then it talks about a regular mincha of a kohen. So ainli ela el yona. Now you have like this. The pasuk says about the minchas chavitim that the whole thing should be burnt to Hashem. The whole thing is to be burnt. Doesn't say anything about eating it. It says the whole thing is to be burnt. Fine, of course, if it's being burnt, then you can't eat it. But nevertheless, it doesn't actually say so explicitly in the pasuk. Then the next pasuk says any mincha of koyim should be completely burnt and not eaten. So ainli ela el yona. The kolot tochter, the chatona, the loisa offal. So maybe it means that the minchas chavitin, there was a mitzvah, I say, to fruit in the whole thing, but not necessarily not to eat it. If a person were to eat from the minchas chavitin, he wouldn't be oiran alive, the chatona, the loisa offal. And the second one about a regular mincha would be loisa ocho, you're not allowed to eat it. But it doesn't say, it says kolol, it should be complete. But it doesn't say tochter, it doesn't say that it should be completely burnt. So maybe it would mean at least, like Reb Shimon, maybe it would be at least like what Reb Shimon is saying with a mincha skoita, that even a voluntary mincha of a regular koyin would have the koyimitz and the shirayim offered separately. How do we know that it means minayin litzinus omoshal zebazeh, that's omoshal zebazeh? How do we know that what's said by one applies to the other and vice versa? So both of them, you have the mitzvah to burn them completely, and both of them, there's a loisa said not to eat it. Tom and a person would get Malchus for being over on that lav. Tom and Lemma, kolo, Xeda Shava, therefore it says kolo by both of them to make Xeda Shava. Nemakan kolo, the Nemalahalan kolo by both psukim. It says the word kolo, mala, halan, the kolo toctor, aftan the whole kolo toctor. So just like the minchas chavitin where it says kolo and then it continues toctor, it shall be burnt. Therefore we learn that a regular mincha of a koyin is also completely burnt. Umakan with loises alachilose, and by the mincha of a koyin, and there's a loises, a loise ochel, it should not be eaten. And a person would be chayiv malchus for it, aflahal, in the same way by the minchas chavitin, litin loises alachilose, there'd be a loises there for eating it. And not just that you have a mitzvah to burn it, but there's no penalty for eating it. So therefore, sort of chumma learning that from the pasuk, so they don't use it to learn the limud that we said that the Torah is making a comparison between a minchas chavitin and a minchas choyte, and say that minchas choyte is treated any different than any other regular mincha, according to the chachamim and Reb Shimon. Whatever applies to a regular mincha of a koyin also applies to a minchas choyte. Well, according to the Rabbanon, what applies to a regular mincha of a koyin applies to a minchas choyte. No koyimitz is taken; the whole thing is burnt together. And according to Reb Shimon, the whole thing is burnt, but as separately the koyimitz and Shiraim separately, as we talked about on the top of the Omud Y, Reb Shimon says that. So in this connection, the Gemara says, "Boy Ravina, Koyin Sha'ochol Minhei Murin Mahu." So this we're talking about, this that we're saying, that when it comes to the Shiraim of a Minchas Choyte, the Torah is specifically telling us that there's a lava on the Koyin not to eat it. So what about, asks Ravina, if a Koyin were to eat from the Emurim of the Korban which was supposed to be offered on a Mizbeach? Now the Emurim includes Chelev, and that of course we're not asking about, because the person eats Chelev, he's Chayav Kares, as it says in this week's parashah. The question rather is, the Emurim though that are offered on a Mizbeach also include parts that are not Chelev, but nevertheless, Zeres HaKosev, that they go on a Mizbeach. The kidneys, the Yeseres HaKoved, which is the diaphragm. So what about if a koyin were to eat those mahu? What would be the din? Is he chayiv anything for that? The Mefoshim discuss based on what it says. Rashi has the expression mizevach shel koyin from a korban of a koyin. So does it actually mean that, or is it referring across the board to any korban? In other words, Ravina's question is basically going to be whether we don't find an explicit lav not to do it, or on the face of it, we don't find an explicit lav, and therefore, is there in fact a lav on it? So it wouldn't necessarily apply only to a Kohen's korban. It might apply across the board to all korbanos. So mahu, what would be the din? The question is, lav de zoros a question is, and he says, lav dezorus lo tomiboyli. Now, when it comes to the fact that we have an issur for zoru to eat from korbanos, so that I have no question. Of course, he'd be chayav for that. Because look, the fact is that a zoru is not allowed to eat. Is not allowed to eat such korbanos. The whole zoru lo yechol kodesh. Tosfos discusses over here that there may be different other psukim from which we learn. In any case, so kikam abayli lav de kololti amai. What about when he said the gzeder shava before of kololti loisa achol, that what's burnt completely on the mizbeach cannot be eaten? Does that apply just to menachos, or maybe it applies to anything that's to be burned on the mizbeach? The answer is Omer of Aaron Ravina Toshma. So Rav Aaron answers Ravina. I can bring you a proof from a Braisa, the Tanya, Rav Eliezer Omer, Kol Shehu B'Cholotia. Anything where there's a mitzvah in the Torah to burn it completely, that litin loisas alachilaser. The Torah is coming to tell you that there's a loisas there not to eat it. In other words, yes, that zera shava from the word kolo applies not only to menachos but anything else of which the Torah says that it has to be completely burnt. So that would include the emurim of the korbanos. Then if a person does eat it, then he's over on a lav. Whether in fact he would be chayav malchus for it as a machlokas rishonim. Regular Rashi over here says the expression chayev, which chayev usually means chayev malchus, and the Rambam passes that way. However, Tosfos discusses over here that the whole point in some detail part of their discussion what pasuk we learn this issur from, and Tosfos says it may be considered a lav shebe chlolus. First of all, Tosfos says there may in fact be a machlokas on that question whether he gets malchus or not. But second of all, we can say that everybody agrees he wouldn't. Says Tosfos maybe because the lav shebe chlolus, it's a lav which includes many different things, and there's a general rule that one doesn't get malchus for such a thing. Okay, but in any case, the issur does apply, yes, to anything that's to be burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, it does apply to the emurim. Now that we discussed in the previous Mishnah the menachos where a koymetz is taken and then the shirayim are eaten, and we had when it comes to minchas chota of a koyin where Reb Shimon says a koymetz is taken and the shirayim are not eaten but rather burnt. Now let's talk about the second. Now let's talk about the other groups of menachos as they relate to kmitza. Minchas koyinim, so mincha brought by a koyin, a voluntary mincha, and according to the chachamim also a So the minchas koyanim, none of it is eaten. Or minchas koyan mashiach, the mincha of the anointed koyan, named the chavite koyan bottle. Or minchas nesachim, the minchas nesachim that are brought together with a korban, the flour and the flour mixed with oil and the wine. So all of those, the mizbeach, all of those goes on the mizbeach. The ein ben the koyan have no part of that. So there you have an example where the mizbeach has a stronger power than the koyanim, because there you have something which is entirely offered on the mizbeach, and none of it goes to the koyanim. On the other hand, continues the mission. Shtei alechem, the lachal aponim. On the other hand, the shtei alechem that are brought on Shavuos and the lachal aponim, nechol lakoyanim. Those are completely eaten by the koyanim. Ve'ein lehem lamizbeach. There's nothing of them that goes on the mizbeach. Ubezeh yofa koyach hakoyanim koyach hamizbeach. There we have the other way around, where the koyanim have a stronger position than the mizbeach. To be sure, Tosfos points out, each one of them, you have something that goes along with them that goes in the mizbeach. The lachem aponim, you have the bezichi levoina. The shtei alechem, you have the kvasim. But nothing of the actual bread itself goes in the mizbeach, and therefore the Mishnah can phrase it that the koyanim have a stronger position than the mizbeach. It's a helpful way of remembering. The distinction between these things was some of them the mizbeach. So a regular mincha, you have both. The mizbeach gets a portion of it, and the koyanim get a portion, but it helps us remember that there were some things which is exclusively for the mizbeach or exclusively for the koyanim. Well, the Gemara asks, you're telling me that in both parts of the Mishnah, it says the expression bazeh. In this, the mizbeach is stronger than the koyanim, or in this, the koyanim are stronger than the mizbeach. So it sounds like what the Mishnah is saying is exclusive and not including anything else. So the question is, is there really nothing else in the first grouping that there's nothing else that's completely burned on the mizbeach? For ikka oila, what about an oila which is completely burned on the mizbeach? So there you have the mizbeach has a stronger position than the koyanim. And the answer is ikka oila lakoyanim. Fine, but you do have the skin of the oila is given to the koyanim, as we learned about in Mizrachim, so therefore you really can't say that it's completely given to the mizbeach. Okay, what about for Ika Ola Sa'if? What about an Ola Sa'if where the Kohenim don't eat any of it and the whole thing is and it goes on the Mizbeach? And the answer is there's not. There's part of it that doesn't go on the Mizbeach at all. Ika Mura V'Noitza. You have the Mura V'Noitza, which is taken away, which is taken out and thrown away in, into the Beis Hadesh and into that place near the Mizbeach where they put the Trumas Hadesh in every morning. The Mura V'Noitza we talked about in Zvachim means the digestive organs, including the crop, the pouch inside the neck where the bird starts digesting the food, the gizzard where it finishes digesting it, whatever kishkas come out together with it. Notza, we had we had two different opinions in Zvachin, whether notza means the feathers that are above the crop, or whether it means that on the outside of the skin in that area, or whether it means the waste that's inside the crop. Whatever the case, you take all those out and then throw them away before you offer the rest of the bird on the Mizbeach. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, because birds eat from wherever they find the food, which means they're often stealing food, and Hashem doesn't want stolen things on his Mizbeach. Whatever the case, the point isn't, oh, the story, fine, the Kohenim don't eat any of it, but you can't say that the Mizbeach gets older. All right, the Gemara says, well, you can nesachim. What about nesachim, when a person brings wine as a korban? It's also completely burnt, it's also completely poured on the Mizbeach. The answer is, l'shitin azl. The answer is, that's not burnt on the fire of the Mizbeach, rather it's poured into the shisin. It's poured into the cups that are built into the top of the Mizbeach, and it drains down into the shisin, into the underground cavity and channel under the Mizbeach. So therefore, again, the Mishnah can't really say that Yofa Koyach Mizbeach in the sense that the Mizbeach really usually means the fire of the Mizbeach, and the fire of the Mizbeach is not getting this wine. Tosfos asks, what about Lavoina? You can have a person who brings Lavoina by itself as a korban, and it's burned on the Mizbeach. But Tosfos says, fine, what we're talking about over here is something that could have been eaten, and instead, the Mishnah, and instead, we're saying a Chiddush, that instead of being eaten, it's burnt on the Mizbeach. So a regular korban and a mincha and wine have all that in common, which is why the Gemara mentions that. Lavoina is not normally eaten, therefore the Gemara didn't even bother mentioning it, and for the same reason, even according to the opinion of Debbie that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that wood can be considered a korban by itself, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, according to Debbie, you would take a koimetz of the wood and offer it on the Mizbeach, and you would salt it like you do any other korban, and so forth. Nevertheless, the Gemara is not, and the Gemara is not asking about that because wood is not edible in you. Well, then in that case, my bazu. Well, then what does the Mishnah mean to exclude by saying bazu? If anyway any of these other things are being logically excluded, then why does the Mishnah need to use the word bazu or bazer, as we had in the Mishnah, to say in this the Mizbeach is stronger than the Kohenim in that it gets everything? What else would we have thought to include? The answer is Lapukimi de Shmuel, because the Mishnah wants to tell us not what Shmuel says. Yom Shmuel, Misnad of Yayim. Shmuel, we just said that if a person brings wine on the Mizbeach and it's poured into the Shisin, but Shmuel disagrees. Yom Shmuel, Misnad of Yayim. A person brings wine by itself. Mizir, Mizalfei al Gabi Ishin. He takes it and he sprinkles it under the Kohen, sprinkles it on the fire of the Mizbeach. We talked about in Zvachim, isn't there the problem potentially that he might be putting out the fire a little bit, and the answer is it's double shame of a scavim, he's not intending to, and it's not necessarily that it will be, it's not sikresha, and therefore shalisa, even though there's an isser in our parasha, Esh Chabad took out on the Mizbeach, lo sikhli, you're not allowed to put out the fire on the Mizbeach, but Shmuel holds in this case you're allowed to do this, even though it might mistakenly extinguish a little bit of the fire, because it's not inevitable, and you don't mean to do it. Anyway, so our Mishnah, by saying Bazeh, implies, and in that case, then the Mishnah should have included wine as well, because it's exactly the same thing. The fire of the Mizbeach gets the whole thing, and the Kohenim don't get any of it. So, Kamash Malon, Lashisin Asli, therefore, the Mishnah wants to imply to us that, no, it does in fact go to the Shisin, and therefore the Tana doesn't list it. Tosfos points out, I mean, it does imply, not like Shmuel, but the Gemara has a whole sugya in Zvachim, Tosfos points out, discussing Shmuel's statement, the Gemara didn't bring this Mishnah, because fine, it's only the wording of the Mishnah maybe suggests, the wording Bazu maybe suggests not like Shmuel, but it's not an open contradiction to him. So on Mishnah they contradict Shmuel, but it's not considered a real stira on Shmuel. In fact, the Sfasemis goes further and say that Shmuel is only talking about according to Reb Shimon, who holds Dov Hashem Miskaven is mutter when it comes to Shabbos, whereas Reb Yehuda, who holds in Hilchos Shabbos Dov Hashem Miskaven is usher, then he would hold that in fact you can't sprinkle the wine on his day because there is the possibility you're going to put out some of the fire, and therefore the Gemara would be saying over here that when it says not like Rav Shmuel, it really means that our Mishnah is not like Shmuel's understanding of Rav Yehuda. If the Mishnah is not going to contradict Shmuel, necessarily it would have to be according to Rav Shimon.
Okay.
Now, and in fact, the Gemara points out, Messiah the Shmuel, in fact, the end of our Mishnah, when it says, when it continues, that in this, we said in Lechem Aponim, and Shtei Alechem, the power of the Koyanim is stronger than the Zeach, then on the contrary, Messiah the Shmuel, we have another point, but not the same point, but a different point that Shmuel says, which supports what Shmuel says. The Amos Shmuel, Hamasnad of Shemen, if a person brings in a jar of oil by itself, Koinsoi, you take a Koinitz from it. We talk about in Zohim whether it means he actually physically takes a koymetz from it with his hand like a regular mincha, in which case you probably have to congeal it because otherwise oil is not really going to stay in his hand, or whether it means he uses a keli the size of a koymetz anyway. So he takes the koymetz and burns it on the mizbeach. Ushurav nafalim, and the shirayim of that oil is given to the koyanim to eat. So now, therefore, when our Mishnah says that only the Shtei Lechem and the Lechem Aponim are the only things which are given to the Kohanim exclusively, and the Mizbeach have no part of, that would be, in other words, that supports Shmuel's point about in the case of the oil, in fact, none of it, in fact, some of it is burnt on the Mizbeach, and then some of it is eaten by the Kohanim, so therefore it's in neither category, and it's in neither category of our Mishnah. Tosfos points out that when it comes to wine, you can't do that because, again, wine, there's really no way to get it to be able to take koymus of it. It's too liquidy, as opposed to oil. So, again, Tosfos would seem to understand that oil at least is more semi-solid, or at least you can make it more semi-solid by chilling it, and therefore you can actually take a koymus of it. With that said, we talked about Mizvachim, and then Tosfos Yomtiv explains that, no, what it means is that he would take a keli and put in an amount of oil equal to the koymus, and then offer it that way. An interesting thing, one of the interesting things, the Yad David points out that Tosfos Yomtiv may have not been in an area where olive oil was common enough for him to have ever seen it congealed to be able to know that it's possible to congeal it unlike wine. So the Gemara asks now, what about the second part of the Mishnah? Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim. We said the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim are exclusively eaten by the Koyanim, and the Mizbeach has no part of it. Again, the Mishnah had said, "Vzeh." In this, the Koyanim are stronger than the Mizbeach, implying that implying to exclude other things that you might have thought to include. So again, the Gemara asks the Tuleka, are there no other examples? What about a Chatas Oif, which is completely eaten by the Koyanim? No part of the Chatas Oif is burnt on the Mizbeach. The answer is Ikadama. Okay, but you have the blood of it is squirted and then it's pressed onto the Mizbeach, and therefore you can't say the whole thing is eaten by the Kohen. Okay, the Gemara says, Va'ika loig shemen shom atzoda. What about the loig of oil that a Matzoda brings, where again, none of it is offered on the Mizbeach? And the answer is Ikamachnoisa. Sure, but you do have the Machtonis of it, you do have the seven sprinklings of it that are done, and then you have the applications of it that are done on the ear, thumb, and toe, and head of the Matsoda, so therefore you can't say the entire thing is eaten by the Queen. So the mission didn't list it. Now, Rashi Ksavyan has an interesting statement that oil is sprinkled on the paroiches. Because Rashi says the puzzle is lifnei Hashem. It's not so simple, actually. Tosfos and Shittim Kubetzis point out that it never says that he goes into the Heichel. The implication is that he stands in the Azara and sprinkles it towards the Heichel. But in any case, So Shittim Kubetis asks, okay, fine, but the fact is it's not sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So what would you mean? The implication of the Gemara is that there's some part of it which at least goes on the Mizbeach, but here you don't have anything because nothing that is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So fine, the Chemdes Tamil explains the Gemara doesn't mean that it's not, that any of it goes on the Mizbeach, which just means the Kohenim don't get all of it because some of it is sprinkled and some of it is applied. Okay, well, again, my bazoo. Well, then why did the Mishnah have to say bazoo or bazaar at all? If anyway all the other possible candidates have been excluded anyhow, then why does the Mishnah need to say the word bazaar or bazoo to imply there might have been something else that we thought the Kohenim have, get the whole thing in the Mizbeach, that's nothing, and we have to be told that not? And the answer is, it comes to exclude the opinion that we learned earlier in our Masechta, that if the Shtei Alechem are brought without the Kvasim, then we burn them. We learned over there. There are different opinions what we do with them, and we said that there's an opinion that they're burnt. And therefore, our Mishnah is telling us, no, the Bazu, Yafa Koyanim La'olam, the Koyanim always have a stronger power when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, and the Koyanim eat them. So fine, it means me'ikir adin, they eat them. We did learn in the Gemara earlier in the Masechta that there may be a zera d'rabbana not to eat them because again, people may mistakenly think in a future year when they do have the sheep that you can eat the shtei lechem without the sheep, and that's not so. But me'ikir adin, the Mishnah would be telling us the Kohenim do in fact have the ability to eat it, and they're not meant to be burnt. That's the main explanation of Rashi. But then there's a parenthetical note in regular Rashi that it would mean that rather it would mean a case where a person himself brings Shtei Alechem by himself without Shnei Kvasim. So the implication of the Mishnah is that the Kohenim eat them. But the Tzon Kodshim takes that out. We said that we learned earlier in the Masechta, a Yochim cannot bring Shtei Alechem. So there's a different discussion among the Achronim about details within that. But in any case, the Mishnah is implying, not like that, every time the Shtei Alechem, the Kohenim do in fact eat it, and the Mizbeach gets nothing of it. That's the implication of the word Bazeh.